Hello, my name is Nanna Christensen, and I'm a PhD student at Aarhus University and the Department of Nuclear Medicine and PET Center at Aarhus University Hospital in Denmark. This is a summary of our study entitled Detection and Correction of Patient Motion in Dynamic 015 Water PET MPI. Motion artifacts are quite challenging in cardiac PET imaging. Due to severe motion artifacts, we repeat around 3% of cardiac 015 water PET exams at our department. Patient motion during imaging can lead to poor image quality and inaccurate quantification. Several motion correction methods have been proposed, but currently no tools are available for 015 water. So in this study, we present a manual motion correction tool for 015 water imaging and evaluate its effectiveness using simulated motion data and a large cohort of clinical scans. In the first part of the study, we used simulated motion data to assess the ability to detect and correct patient motion visually. The data consisted of 16 different types of motion applied to 10 motion-free clinical scans, yielding a total of 160 scans. Two approaches were examined: a pre-analysis approach, where motion was assessed in the raw dynamic images, and a post-analysis approach where parametric images and polar maps were assessed for motion artifacts, leading to a review of the raw dynamic PET images only in scans with suspected motion. In the second part of the study, we included 762 clinical patient exams. Clinical reports were searched for terms related to motion, and exams were categorized accordingly. Motion correction in the clinical patient study corresponded to the post-analysis approach, and stress MBF for the three coronary territories was compared pre- and post-motion correction. The motion correction was performed using a frame-by-frame method. Image readers manually shifted the image volumes frame-by-frame with an overlay of the pre-motion correction segmentation of the myocardial wall. Global and regional MBF values were compared between motion-free scans, scans with simulated motion, and after motion correction. Clinical interpretation of the scans was performed based on a MBF threshold of 2.3 milliliters per minute per gram globally or in one or more coronary territories. So, the result from the simulated motion study showed that the pre-analysis approach successfully corrected motion in 94% of scans, while the post-analysis approach corrected motion in 64% of the scans. Motion correction partially reduced motion artifacts in 65% using the pre-analysis approach and in 72% of the scans using the post-analysis approach. Motion was wrongfully identified in 8 of the 10 motion-free scans using the pre-analysis approach and in 5 using the post-analysis approach. Both approaches reduced motion artifacts, particularly in the LAD and RTA territories. The impact on interpretation varied, with change in interpretation in 41% using the pre-analysis approach and in 27% using the post-analysis approach, but only half of these changes were accurate. In the clinical patient study, motion correction was performed in 10% of the 762 exams. Before motion correction, global MBF was below the threshold of 2.3 milliliters per minute per gram in 44% of the exams. After motion correction, the percentage of exams with reduced flow decreased. The impact of motion correction on exam interpretation showed minimal changes in global MBF, but some alterations at a territorial level. Overall, a small percentage of exams had a change in exam interpretation based on MBF at a territorial level. In conclusion, our study demonstrates that frame-by-frame motion correction after visual inspection is useful in reducing motion artifacts in 015 water PET. Reviewing the initial results as part of the motion correction process reduced wrongful correction in motion-free scans. In a large clinical cohort, the impact of motion correction was limited to a few patients. New information. When manually correcting motion in 015 water cardiac PET scans, we can reduce motion artifacts, but rarely completely eliminate them. Determining the direction and extent of motion is difficult, resulting in mainly correcting motion in the axial direction and generally undercorrecting it. Limitations. One limitation of the study is that the simulated data had a higher prevalence of motion compared to real clinical scenarios. Also, the frame-by-frame motion correction approach only allows for correction of inter-frame motion without assessing intra-frame motion. In the clinic, patient motion often involves intra-frame motion, which is challenging to detect and correct. Clinical implications. Motion correction had minimal impact on exam interpretation since the correction affected 12.5% of the motion-corrected exams in the clinical patient cohort. The post-analysis approach resulted in a large reduction in number of scans with applied correction. By adopting this approach, the potential benefits of motion correction can be achieved without unnecessarily intervening in motion-free scans. Thank you.